So what words or phrases are you sick of? Language columnist Ben Zimmer told us he's getting tired of YOLO, you only live once. It's made its way into a Drake song, and it's the name of a segment on a TV show, Katie Couric's. Ben says that's the death knell, meaning it's just too mainstream. We asked you which words you wanted to see left behind as we turn over the year, and boy, we heard from you. On Facebook, Elizabeth Buckley writes, epic is overused. Kevin Anderson agrees. He says, why is everything all of a sudden epic? Your sandwich was epic? Did it battle Grendel in the Rings of Hell on its way home from the Trojan War? Donna Dunn hates impact as a verb, you know, something impacting something else. Well, today, overused words as well as words that went into the dictionary this year with Steve Kleinedler, executive editor of the American Heritage Dictionary, who joins us from WRTI in Philadelphia. And Steve, you've told us that when a lot of people are talking about a word, even hating it, it's evidence that the word maybe belongs in a dictionary. But weigh in on a word that people are hating at our website because of its misuse, literally.
I'd love to, and thank you for having me on, Robin. Literally evokes a very strong reaction in people who literally means in a literal manner. You translate something from another language literally, or it means in a strict sense. You take someone's marks literally or at face value. There's this extended sense where literally is used as an intensive before and a figurative expression, or really or actually, and that's the sense that people take umbrage with. My ears were literally ringing. I was so angry, or steam was literally coming out of my head. This is one of those instances where we at the American Heritage Dictionary fortunately have this usage panel at our disposal. So when we include this kind of contested sense in the American Heritage Dictionary, we can preface it by saying there's a usage problem with it. And then in a usage note, and the one it literally has fairly long usage notes, we dissect at length what the reservations are to it, why people are upset by it, and we weigh in with percentages as to what the usage panel thinks of it. So in this manner, we're able to show how this word is used very commonly, but at the same time, we're able to point out to our readers, if you use it in this way, this is how this word is often judged. And I might add, so too, with impact, it has a long-standing, decades-long use as a verb. As a transitive verb, it is completely unexceptionable. It's a completely legitimate English word.
Even if it bothers her.
Even if it bothers her.
Drives her crazy.
Language changes over time, and this is one word for which the ship has sailed.
So something can be impacted by something else. So sorry, Donna Dunn, at least according to the American Heritage Dictionary and the usage. And again, just to underscore, and underscore is one that I think I'm saying too much, but literally is supposed to mean literal, like it really happened, but we're hearing it in other usage. As in
you mean figuratively,
yeah,
essentially.
Yeah, meaning yes. Figuratively. You know, someone can't literally laugh their head off, but we are hearing that usage as well.
A point that ties in with what you said, there's a whole other range of words that bother people, like YOLO. That's the type of word where we haven't entered into the dictionary in the first place on the assumption that it's probably ephemeral, it might die out. We try not to put things in unless we're certain they're going to stick around for a long time. So catchphrases that are very in the moment, we don't have to worry about taking them out because we haven't put them in yet.
Well, and thank goodness you kept some in rather than take them out. I'm referring to the word Chad.
Right. Back in the late 90s, we were looking at terminology that we thought we might be obsolescent. And I spoke with the man who was my boss at the time, and we were talking about various computer technology. And, I pointed out, with punch card technology, what's more obsolete than punch cards. And here's this word, Chad. Do we need to keep this? And then after some discussion, the editors realized, well, it's still used in certain jurisdictions in voting booths, for example. And based on that, we thought, okay, well, we'll keep it in. And then a year later, of course, in 2000, the word Chad rose to the top of everyone's consciousness in a very large way. So it's an example of why even if we think something might be on its way out, you really want to take caution before you start deleting things willy-nilly.
That's right. So we're talking about two things here, misuse of words and also overuse. I just want to throw out that Ken Pelosi says, I'm using the phrase ginned up too often. It's driving him crazy. I'm sorry. Its derivation has something to do with cotton gins, and it has to do with people creating or producing or working up an issue beyond what it would normally be. And sorry if I'm using that one too much. What phrase or word are you hearing, Steve, that you think is getting overused as opposed to misused?
One of your responders made this comment, and I am a victim of it. I use the word actually way too much. That was one of my New Year's resolutions, was to back off on saying actually so much. And I find myself, when I edit email, I must delete the word actually 5 or 6 times in a random email. So I'm aware of it, and that's half the battle. And I think for your listeners, that is half the battle. If they find themselves overusing things, is being aware of the fact that you're overusing something, take stock of it, and then actively work on cutting it back.
Well, which words are you ginning up? Oh, sorry. Which words are you adding, you know, to the dictionary?
One thing I like to talk about, because a lot of times people think new words come from areas of technology or medical words that are 90 syllables long, I like to point out how something as common as food is a very robust source of new vocabulary, especially as American cuisines expand out from meat and potatoes and go more global. And in this case, some of the ones that we added last year, fans of Thai or Vietnamese restaurants are familiar with the spicy red condiment that's made from chilies or vinegar, or garlic, salt, sugar, and all that, called sriracha. And sriracha has obviously existed as a foreign word for quite some time, but it is now we consider to be an English word, in part because of its ubiquity, not just in Southeast Asian food, but you now see it on menus, you know, with eggs. I've had it in Bloody Marys. You see it in pizza sauces. It's expanded beyond its original area, and it has become yet another condiment that Americans are familiar with, and we felt it was time to go in.
Sriracha, S-R-I-A-C-H-A. Also, capicola?
Yes. Capicola is an interesting one because in radio interviews that I've conducted, when the station is in an area that's seen a large pattern of Italian immigration of the past decades, centuries, capicola, that's been around forever. How is that just now considered an English word? But for the radio stations that I've spoken to where there isn't a lot of Italian neighborhoods, most of them haven't heard it before. It's a type of meat. It's a cured meat made from the neck or the shoulder of the pig. And, you know, you serve it in cold cuts, thin slices like you would a salami or bologna. And it's interesting how salami and bologna are words that have long been considered, you know, very standard English. And there are these other types of deli meats that, as they increase in popularity and they start spreading across the country, are more worthy of inclusion. And this one's an interesting one, has half of the people I speak to are like, why hasn't that been there in before? And the other half is, what is that? You know, they both have a valid concern, but we did add it this year.
Going forward, oh wait, that's a phrase that Sandy Dauernhauer, one of our listeners, hates when I use. She said, why don't you just say in the future or something else? But as we look into the future, what words do you kind of see on the horizon that you're thinking, that could be a candidate in 2013?
One word that we've discussed over the past couple of years and we still don't quite feel is there, and we'll look at it again in 2013, is bromance. I know a lot of people have a visceral reaction to that. We're still not quite convinced that it's got the staying power. Again, we don't want to add a word that 5 or 6 years from now we're going, why did we consider this? No one uses it now. So it's just the right type of slanginess where it will either stay and stay big or it will start dwindling downward.
Yeah. Steve Kleinedler, executive editor of the American Heritage Dictionaries. Thank you as always.
Thank you, Robin, for having me on. It's always a pleasure.
Well, bromance did make it into song. This is Swedish DJ Tim Bergling, DJ Avicii's Bromance. By the way, Merriam-Webster, another dictionary, is out with its most looked-up words of 2012 on the list, marriage, which the online Merriam-Webster now defines as the state of being united to a person of the opposite sex and the state of being united to a person of the same sex in a relationship like that of a traditional marriage. Interesting. Here Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Robin Young. Please join us again, Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at mathworks.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.